Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
I just want to talk about tithing and giving, because the biggest pressure that I see in the church today is about money and health, all right? And kind of, isn't that right? And we would probably take health over money, but money, it's not actually about the money, it's about what it shows us about where our heart's at and where our trust is at, because the pressure that I see a lot of people putting themselves under is actually not about money, it's about a lack of trust in God. Do you get me? And so whenever the Lord speaks to you about money, it's almost like it's not about the money, stupid. It's about something else. It's about, do you really trust me? You get that? And the money's not the issue for me, but it manifests something in our hearts. We see something manifest about how we actually believe truly about God's grace and favor in our lives. So last week I said that whenever Abraham's coming back from the battle, that's the first time we read it in Genesis 14. You know, this is way before the law, okay? So remember, don't think like kids, because this is 430 years before the law was given. He's coming back, and Melchizedek, remember, Jesus is a high priest in the order, not of the Levites, who would be the ones from the law, but he's in the order of Melchizedek, an Old Testament pre-incarnate version of Jesus. That's what we believe. And what happens is, whenever he comes back from battle, so he's weary and he's tired. And what does this Melchizedek do? He gives him the bread and the wine, all right? So he gives him, it's like this picture of the finished work. Everything you need is here, is what the Lord is saying. And the response of love from Abraham's heart, remember, is he tithes, all right? He gives, can we get up at the slide there, Paul, about Salem as Jerusalem. He brings out the bread and wine and he blessed him. Remember I said that in this, there's only blessing. Do you get me? In the order of Jesus and where he comes from, his first works are, blessed are you, right? There's no cursing. There's nothing. It's just, this is before, look, this is all about blessing coming your way. So the interesting thing, he goes out to meet Abraham with it. He's already in front of you. Do you understand? You're not waiting on the Lord to come. He's already stepped in front, seeing where you're coming from, and says, here's what you need. Isn't that awesome? And then the response of Abraham's heart is that he gives back. All right. I remember I showed you the slide with the Hebrew on it. So the tithe, maser, and there's three tithes that are given, but within the tithe is richness. Now, this is really interesting for me, because I believe that this teaching is so under attack. So even by people who claim to be under grace, right? But I have never seen any of them truly prosper, all right? Truly prosper, whether it's financially or any otherwise, ministry or not. Okay, until we get this one right. And it is about getting it right. There's a principle here which I think is really important in grace, all right? Just like there's lots of principles called nomos, the law of faith. Nomos is the word. It's like there is a way that this works. And if we can understand that, then we can position ourselves for more grace in our lives. Does that make sense? Okay, so yeah, let me just say this very quickly. There's some myths around this. You know, God, can I just say this morning, under grace, God is not demanding anything of you. Can we just be really clear about that? He's not demanding a thing from you. Okay, the law demands and grace supplies. This is what I love when it comes to my money. Because when we don't have this right, you'll see people making decisions about their time, their effort, their energy, their focus for them and for the people around them. But actually the central root at times is very much about where is your security and where's your trust. And so that's why it's not about the money for me. It's about something so much deeper, profoundly about something about, as grace is given to me, the finished work is given to me, how do I respond into it? Is that okay? And so what you find actually is richness. And it is the word rich. It's actually buried in the tithe. It's actually hidden there in the tithe. So what the law says is, because the law, remember, has a demand mentality. The law, when you're under law and your heart's in law, you will only ever feel the burden of I have to. But that was never, even here, what was going on. And particularly with Jesus, he says, I don't demand a thing of you. I only supply. So we need to look at it with eyes of faith. Let's say, Lord, show me where my faith applies here. Because you're revealing something to me. Now, I have to step into it. But once I start to feel demand, what it just shows me is, Lord, I need to go back to you to receive more love. Does that make sense? Okay. And what I would say about this is, if you don't have a revelation of this, don't do it. All right? Just don't do it. But get the revelation. Say to the Lord, there's so much more for me, because lots of the pressure in your life is rooted in money or the lack of it or the fear of not having enough. Or what will it be like? Isn't that right? Okay, so you're all looking at me like, all right, so let me help you with that. Sometimes there's this sense, right, God doesn't really get my life. He doesn't really understand. You know, if God had to work like I had to work at Jesus, you know, does he actually understand what it's like for me? Does he know what it's like when things are a wee bit tight? And when things are a wee bit tight, why is he not more understanding with me? Do you know, does this ever go through your head? All right, he doesn't really get me. That's why there's so much condemnation in this area. Because we kind of feel like there's a debt, remember? There's a debt that we're paying. God's demanding this from me. And so there's no freedom in that, because if it's a demand and an obligation, then there's absolutely no freedom. You know, why would God curse you for just not paying your tithes? You know, well, actually, if you look at the Old Testament, it was about 33% is what was due under the law. Tithes were just one bit of it. One of the tithes was 10%. There was two other tithes. And then there's other stuff in offerings. Came to weigh more than 33%. And what the interesting thing for me is, whenever people say to me, I don't believe in this, I'm under grace, so I'm not free, so I don't have to tithe. Well, do you know the way grace always goes beyond the law? Right? Always. So whenever you receive grace and you're empowered that way, you'll always go beyond what the law could ever demand. So whenever people say to me, well, I'm under grace, I go, well, are you giving way more than what the law demanded then? Most of them are going, no, I'm not giving anything. So if we have the real conversation about what goes on in our lives, we'll see that it's rooted in fear. Because if you were truly under grace, then the numbers aren't even relevant. You'd be going way beyond what the law demanded. Why? Because grace supplies. I haven't met one of those people yet. All I've met is the people who go, oh, no, I'm not under law. Therefore, I just keep it all for myself. And there's something really wrong with that, I think. Okay, so let's have a look at it. And it says that, just write this verse down, whenever the devil tries to tell you, oh, he's just preaching the law, that boy, he just needs your money. I don't need your money. So can we just nail that one as well? And I really don't. So Galatians 3:13 says this, Christ has redeemed us from what? From the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. So God is not in the business of cursing you. Jesus is not going to go to that tree. He didn't hang there so that he could curse you after it. He went to that tree to redeem you from every curse. Every demand is gone. I want to say that time and time again, but grace will supply to you. But you step in faith into grace. All right? So let's have a look at it. Tithing, Andrew, help me. Have we not been set free from this? If you think that you're set free from this, you're always going to struggle in the air of your money. Because it is God's system and you can't buck it. You can't overturn it. There is a favor ordained for you. There is a life ordained for you. And you, by your positive response, which is what faith is, you mix that positive response called faith into the grace that God has supplied. Can I just say this? God loved you before you tithed, and God will love you if you never tithe. He will love you every bit as much as what he loves you now. So this is not an issue of how God will relate to you. But if you choose not to trust God with your money, it will affect how you see God. That's the difference. It doesn't change how he sees us, but it certainly changes how we see him. And so that's why it's so important for me. It's a fundamental part of the system that I think is found throughout the Bible. It's a biblical principle. It's one of those fundamental laws given before the law, which is about truth. We saw that Melchizedek appears and the picture of the finished work is given in fullness, and the response from a heart of love is the tithe. It's given back because of what the finished work has done for you. And it's interesting that in giving back, somebody said to me, well, this is the question I actually had, and I was whenever I looked at that word and I did some research around it. Was it not just Abraham going, I'm giving you back from that which I have taken in the spoils of battle? Do you know what I mean? Because he's won this battle, he's got all this stuff. And so it's actually not, you don't find your blessing in there. It's just actually, this is what he gave back. Do you understand? But actually when you look at it, that's when Abraham then says, I'm not going to lift a thing from anyone because nobody's going to say that they made me rich. It's only God. So it's actually that response of God put it into me, so I give it back to him. Nobody will say that they made Abraham rich. It was God's blessing in my life. So when God blesses you, a love heart response is, let me give back. Amen? And he's not demanding it in any way. In a sense, it brings us very quickly to the most important thing about why we tithe. It's understanding of why God says to do it and how we do it. The issue is this. Under the old covenant of law, there was obligation and debt. The old law was about external control of our behavior. The new control, the new way of dealing with the Lord, though, is not external controls on our behavior, but internally receiving the love of God, and we live from the inside out. It's the royal law of love as described in the Bible, all right? Not commands, but God's love written on your heart. It's the transformation of I have to do this, but when I keep my eyes on Jesus and see what he's done for me, I get to do this. And what is interesting about it is, you know, if you take something that is designed for your benefit and you make it an obligation, you need to get Jesus back into the center. That's a lie of the devil. You're listening to untruth. Because I'm no longer under debt to God. Neither are you. I get to give to God, right? And that's the way Penny and I have always framed our lives. We get to give because of what he has done for us. And the truth of it is, can I just tell you, you will never outgive God. Under grace, he will abundantly supply all of the time. But the problem is, see, when you mix law and grace, what does the law look like here? I trust the Lord, but I'll carry the burden for my finance and my provision. So now you're performing. And what does the word say whenever you mix law and faith, or law and grace? You nullify which one? Grace. You can go and read that. See, it's not possible to live under both. It's that sense of going, you've got to go all in and say, like, I really trust you. And that's just when it shows you where your heart's really at. So it's not about the money, stupid. It's about, do you really trust the Lord? Because we nullify, we take ourselves out of God's grace time and time again by saying, I trust you, but I won't step into it. And actually, Jesus has got a really interesting view of this. You know, in 2 Corinthians 9:15, there's just great verse. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So why do we do it? Because I love him. It's a response to what Jesus has done in your life. It's an absolute response. Now, where do you see what he does in the middle of it? In Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your stuff and with the first fruit of all your increase, it's the tithe, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Isn't that amazing? And then Ezekiel 44:30, this is why we do it. The best of all the first fruits of any kind, the tithe, and every sacrifice of any kind from your sacrifices, it'll be the priests. So the tithe that we operate in today, Maser, is actually, it was brought into the house of God to look after the priests. Okay, and if you have an issue with that, you need to go and read what Paul says in 2 Corinthians around it. He says, you know, when the word of God is planted as a seed in your heart, then what you do is you honor the people who plant the seed in your heart because you're living in the goodness of it. And the right thing to do then is to honor them by providing for them. Interesting, but I'm not going to preach on that today because people then go, you're just after the money. No, I'm not. Trust me. But there's this order, which is right, because that's why he says, honor me with the first fruits. Because what you're actually doing in that moment is you're saying to God and demonstrating to God that you are my source. You're saying, I love you. I trust you. I know your word and your promise to me are true. And you know what? That honors and blesses God's heart. He loves that faith. I actually believe the Lord responds to that kind of faith. Now, so what he says is just take this first bit, and it's the first bit before anything else. Now, what's really interesting about this is that it makes no financial sense at all. This is why it is the upside down kingdom of God. If you try to get this with your rational mind, you will always come up with a negative on your ledger. It doesn't make any sense. But you know what? It's not meant to. Faith does not make sense. Here you all are on a Sunday singing songs of faith to a God who you've never seen in the flesh, but you know that he's done something in your heart. Isn't that right? That's the God that we serve. Everything is done by faith. Everything is done by faith. We start to see the outworking of it in our lives. But when we take what the word says here is when you take those first fruits, okay, 90%, it's almost like what happens in the 90%. It's like because Jesus actually describes money as unrighteous. But in the giving of the first fruit, it all becomes righteous. Do you understand that? The small bit representing the whole. And that's a principle you see the whole way through the Bible. Why was it just about the first bit? Because it was like the Lord saying, give me the first. Put me into that place of centrality in your life. Do you really trust me? Or are you going to carry the burden yourself? And actually what happens, and there's not a financial system in the world that will, you know, and my background is finance. I did it for years and years and years, okay? I understand it inside and out. But I'm telling you now, there's not a financial system in the world which says, actually, you know, you will have more and more and more. The more you give away, the more you'll get back. That's a godly principle. That's a kingdom principle. It doesn't work any other way. It's a huge step of faith for us to go, if I really believe in the grace of God, I'm going to step into it. I'm going to exercise it. What am I going to do it with? I'm going to do it with my money. Now, is this okay so far? In Luke 6:38, it says, if you give, it'll come back to you and all that stuff. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For the same measure that you use, it'll be measured back to you. And this is a principle. You know, you might say to yourself, you know what? You know, the principle I believe in the heart of God has never changed, but under the covenant of grace, our motivation changes underneath it. That's why I'm saying you have no obligation to do this. But if you have a revelation of it, this is where you grow from being kids into really starting to eat the meat of grace that he has provided for you. But if you need milk, that's okay. It is okay. Keep taking the milk until you want to grow stronger, because there's no obligation. What's happened is the principle is there. The principle of Jesus at the center. The principle is, as you have given to me, so I respond with the very stuff that causes me the biggest pressure, but I do it because I trust you. Then what the Lord says is, see everything that's left, it is anointed and righteous, and it will do far more than you could ever do with 100% where you hold the burden. Can I say today, I'm standing here today as a result of that promise that God spoke over our lives. You would have no idea how many times when we have, in our journey of church, okay, where we literally were down to nothing. Back in 2015, I'm going to tell you this because God is faithful. All right? And you're sitting here today in the fruit of the faithfulness of the people who have gone before you. All right? When you look at the Jews, man, and how they're blessed, seriously? Somebody tell me, all right, that the Jews are not the most blessed people in the world, living in the goodness of this stuff over generations. So anyway, don't even get me started on that. As a percentage, they're tiny. Impact, huge. Why? The favor of God. Yes. And you'll never tell me any different. Mark Zuckerberg, anyone? Yeah. Google, all these guys, just anointing after anointing after anointing. Why? Because it's a generational thing. So I give as well, in part, because I want my kids to live in the goodness of it. My view's not just for me. What's it going to be like for my kids? They're going to live in the favor of God, not just the favor that he spoke over them, but because dad went before them, blazing a trail of trust, right? We're a family that trusts the Lord with Jesus at the center, and you're going to live in the goodness of it when I'm dead and gone. Amen? Yeah. Get a big view for this. This is not just for you right now. This is for you and for the generations that would come. Remember, when the Lord spoke about Canaan, he spoke about a land that you and your inheritance, your kids and their grandkids would live in and live in the goodness of it. I'm all for that. What about you guys? Oh, I'm not too sure. I'm just being selfish. Take it all with me. But no, we wouldn't do that, would we? In 2015, this month in 2015, let me just tell you about the faithfulness of God to our church. 2015, we ran out of money. It was the middle of the month. We found, through stuff that happened, there was bills that kept appearing. There was a bill that appeared, and I think it was thousands of pounds. It basically would clear us out. And it was an obligation that we hadn't, that somebody had made on the church's behalf and then had cleared off, all right? Leaving me holding yet another financial baby, all right? I've held more other people's financial babies as a pastor than you've had hot dinners, but he is faithful to his promise, amen? Now, what happened was that, it was 2015, wasn't it? Got the right year. I remember walking home that Sunday. Not that Sunday, it was a Wednesday or something. It was the middle of the month. We pay our rent the week, you know, because we rent this place. We were paying our rent. There's a small stipend for Penny and I, all that stuff at the time. And we were like, okay. So I'm walking home going, am I going to be able to pay my mortgage? We can't pay our rent. This is just a complete disaster. And we had this amount of money. And these people on the phone going, but this person said that you would do it. And we have gone out on the back of what they said. And I couldn't turn around and go, well, they're not with us anymore. So, well, I could have done it. Went and chased them. Here, do you want their number? Here's their home address and their email. Go figure it out. I was walking up the Greenway, and the Lord really spoke to me. And I won't forget the moment. It's where they've built the new play park there at the Greenway, the one they keep burning down every year. And I was walking up, right? I was walking up and I spoke to Penny on the phone, and I think together we just went, we just need to give the money here. It was almost like, you know what, Lord, we're going for bust. If there's somebody depending on this, whether it was me or not, I'm going to have to hold this and take responsibility for it and trust you. So we made the decision, and it was literally all the money that we had, I think, wasn't it? Pretty much cleaned us out as a church. And I remember then kind of walking away going, well, do you know what? I am just about to learn whether God's with us in this church or not. Did I feel sick? You better believe it. Did I feel like, oh, God, are you really there? This would be a really good time to rapture me and leave the rest behind, is what I was actually thinking. I was thinking, how quick could I get the Lauren to get on that boat to Stranraer, to get on a train to anywhere? All of it going through my head as I walked. I actually took the long way home walking. By the time I got home, I was just kind of like, you know what, Lord? We've always trusted you with our money. And you say money's the least. So in the purpose of our church, and in the purpose of all the stuff we've just walked through, I am not going to let my heart be troubled over what you say is the least. Jesus described it. So I'll leave it with you. What happened then is, I think we had already planned to do like a bit of a gift day. We don't do those anymore. But we got some money in. And long story short, by the end of the year, it was November into December, we ended up with more money at the end of the year in like 6 short weeks, right? We paid our rent, we paid everything, miraculously, in 10 days, the money came in. And then by the end of the year, I remember it was Pastor Marcel. Let me just give testimony. I don't know what God was doing in his heart, but the first time he came to visit us, right? He was sitting in our dining room in our house. And because we had no money, we were eating stale bread and water, right? Cool. Isn't this gospel awesome? And Mars in the middle of it all. It's the first time we've met, you know, it's not the first time we've met him, but he's like, when somebody's in your home, it's a whole different level. But Mars looked at me and he said, oh yeah, by the way, we were just chatting. And that's why I love that man. And, you know, and I know that he listens. And, you know, we need to let him know that we love him and we honor him because he brought grace upon grace to our house. But he said, oh yeah, by the way, our church normally tithes of its income, and here's a check, you know, for you guys. So just let me know how we get that money to you. It was like 12 or 15 grand or something. Sitting around, and I nearly spat my stale bread out. Do you know what I mean? And when we put that up and we added it all up, we paid all our bills, we did everything we had to do, and we went into 2016, just as an example, with more money, right, than what we started the year with at the beginning of 2015. Isn't he amazing? And you're sitting here today as a result, because we could have closed the doors. There's one of the things that went through my head. Maybe this is just the Lord saying, we'll have to close. The Lord gives and he takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No, that's not. I was thinking, oh yeah, we don't believe that. Can I just tell you, in my heart in that moment, I felt like it was the Lord saying, do you really trust me? Write it out. Go for it. And it wasn't just about the church. I would get to the end of the month with nothing to feed my family on. All right? But he's never let us down, and he will never let you down. But there's no obligation, there's no debt, there's just an invitation to discover more of this wonderful grace that he has for you. Amen. So what does the Lord say very quickly how to do it? If you've said I tithe but it just doesn't work, let me tell you, there's some absolutely crazy stuff under grace. You know, in 2 Corinthians 9:6-8, it says, you know, so let each one as he purposes in his heart. Now, what some people under grace have done is saying, what you don't need to give, just it's all about your heart. The problem with that is it's wrong. Because the principle of tithing, of responding to the finished work and giving of the first fruit of what God has put into your life, existed way before the law. So if the principle was there before the law, the principle's there after the law. Do you get me? And so, and you need to ask yourself the question, if you feel afraid, why? Because remember I said last week, this is one of the biggest ways the enemy is stealing from the people of God today. Number one, you don't need to be part of a church. Number two, you don't need to give. Why is there such warfare around these two truths? Because it's where you'll find the greatest blessing. Like, why would the enemy go like full long into that? Why? Because he wants to keep you from the truth, to steal, to kill, and to destroy you. To steal from you is number one. Okay, and if the enemy gets you to buy a pup on this one, he's stealing from you. and laughing at you behind your back the whole way when the Lord has said, I'll never demand, I'll just supply in abundance. But take a step of faith. Now, it's interesting that, is this okay? Is this helping anyone this morning? Okay, don't tithe out of debt. It's never going to profit you. Keep saying this, but just say, Lord, I really love you. The most important thing for me, Malachi 3 does say about bringing it into the storehouse. Now, I think as much as your motivation is important, where you plant your seed is really important. This wouldn't have been, they didn't give to the temple, all right, where the Levites would have ministered. They actually, back in the day, right, the tithe would come to the local congregation, right? Do you know it costs money to do this? Have you ever figured that out? The coffee that you drink, the building that we sit in, the plans, if you were there on Tuesday night, did you hear my heart for it? We're not living anywhere close to this gospel. It's going to take money. It's going to take us to supernaturally believe and trust in God. But I'm kind of going, I'm all in. I don't have a plan B. So we're all in. All right. And when I look even at what Pastor Prince and the guys have done in Singapore, $500 million to build something incredible, which is now changing the world, right? Even by Sing standards, that was just completely crazy. But just simply sitting under this message. Now, when I look at other ministries, I don't see that level of favor and blessing on them. I don't. So I go back to, what are you sitting under? What are you feeding on that produces this in the people? Because they're not all high rollers. They're just normal people like you and me who've sown into what God spoke to them about. So, some people will split their tithe among ministries and all that sort of stuff. But I think the word of God is quite clear. The proper way that you do it is bring it to the place where you're fed. Bring it to your church. Bring it, and church is not a ministry. You'll find ministries who say, no, you give to us, but you don't. What I think I love about the stream that we're in under grace is if you try to tithe to Pastor Prince, he'll send it back to you. He doesn't want it. You don't, because he understands that your tithes belong to your church. That's where you give, because that's where God's ordained it. Isn't that amazing? Most ministries will go, yeah, give us it, that's fine. We'll blur the edges and that. He goes, no, don't take your staff out of that flow of blessing. Give to your church. So there's people all around the world who send their tithes under grace to Pastor Prince because that's where I feed from. And he goes, no, you haven't understood it. Send it back to them. Sometimes significant amounts of money from other ministries even. And what I would say is, you might go, well, I don't like this about my church. I don't like that about my church. Well, come and listen to me. I'll give you a bigger list of what I like and don't like, all right? But the thing about your church is, and why, you come as, this is where you're fed. Jesus is the head of Exchange Church. He's ordained this church and commissioned it. It's his idea. He gave himself for Exchange. He's the head of this church. He watches over it. He cares for us and protects us. And, being looked after and cared for is way more than just receiving a word via the TV screen. Do you get that? And so what I'm trying to say to you this morning, I'm going to finish on money. And I hope you've heard my heart in this today. Jesus says that he calls it unrighteous mammon. So what happens is he says this is the least. There's a million verses we could use. I've just tried to step away from that to get you to get the heart of grace when the Lord asks you to do it. Rather than getting into verses where you go, forensically it means this or it means that. But do you capture the heart of grace? Where Jesus says, I'm asking you to step into more. I want you to see more. But you can't carry it yourself. If you're carrying it yourself, you're nullifying my grace. And some of us, our first response then shouldn't be, oh, brilliant, just, our first response, if the Lord is speaking to us, should be, Lord, what are you showing me about where my heart's at and what do you want me to do with it? Okay? And if you're under pressure today over your finance, get a revelation of Jesus and his finished work. In that battle, just think, what does Melchizedek do? He comes with a finished work. He doesn't come with a list of demands and obligations. He comes with the bread and the wine. And he says, eat, get your strength back, feed on me. And in that place, you'll have everything that you need. Amen? And so I believe in this season in 2020, where Tuesday night when we talked about it, it is a season of faith. Some of you are going to bust barriers that you've never done before. Some of you are going to break things that have been holding you back. Why? Is it about money? It's not about money, stupid. So what Jesus said, keep remembering, Jesus says that's the least. This is about a heart which responds in faith to him. And when he sees that, boom, I think he loves it. It blesses him. It's almost like he's saying to you, come on. There is a wee sense of the Lord saying, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you to just really trust me so that I can show you how much I love you. I can show you how much abundance there is. But when you're in fear of me not being true to who I am, it's really hard to do that. Because the Lord operates in an atmosphere of faith, not one of fear. Now you're loved. Go today knowing that you're loved. But for me in my house, I'm speaking personally here, for me in my house, we are always, always, always going to have Jesus at the center. Always going to respond that way. And we are seeing grace upon grace and glory to glory in our own family. As a church, we give. You need to know that. We need to probably make more of that to tell you where we give. We probably need to ramp it up a little. But we, at our heart, we give and sow into lots of different things. But I actually feel the Lord going, you need to take more steps of faith. All right? Because it's already there. Already there. You're walking into it. You're walking into your provision and into your fullness. Amen.